You are watching Game Time Decisions. I am Gabriel Morenci. Welcome to the program that puts its money where its fantasies are on the Fantasy Sports Network as week four of the National Football League regular season wraps up this evening. The New York Giants visit Minnesota. Minnesota Vikings playing their second game in their new stadium. We break it down. Steve Merrill will join us, ProSportsInfo.com. Steve Merrill, one of the cover's experts. We're going to run the gauntlet with Steve. We'll do a little recap as from a gaming perspective as far as week four is concerned. And, of course, we'll break down the Monday nighter. We'll take a look at Major League Baseball future odds as the playoffs are here. It is the best time of the sports year. Nothing beats early October with the playoffs starting. So Steve Merrill joins us to break it down. Paul Bovey on the radar. Paul Bovey will join us from the West Coast. We'll get a second perspective. It's like, you know, you want a second medical opinion. We're going to do a second gambling opinion when it comes to tonight's contest. And not just that, we've got a third option as well. Rochelle Ryan, Triple X superstar, will join us. And I think it's fitting. Listen, Rochelle is like the biggest Giants fan in the world. You know, New York Giants super fan. Rochelle Ryan will join us. But I guess it's fitting that we're launching and we're debuting on a Grande Cable in Texas. Because they say they do everything bigger in Texas. Well, let me tell you, Rochelle Ryan's got a couple of assets that are as big as the state of Texas. We're talking Texas Ranger baseball a little bit on the program, but listen, I'm a big Texas guy, so we're going to be talking a lot about the various Texas football teams, and we'll see how long this baseball team is playing for. I'll tell you what, the Toronto Blue Jays and the Texas Rangers, they don't like each other. And it'll be very interesting if they end up playing each other once again. We're going to break it down. So, as I stated, week four of the National Football League has seen eight favorites win, six underdogs. Total, same thing. Eight over, six unders. Really, nothing to see here, right? Business as usual. Wrong! The old phrase, any given Sunday, was never more true than it was yesterday. Yeah, you know, if you just look at the numbers and you're like, well, look, you know, favorites went 8-6 against the spread. Yeah, well, I tell you what, there were a few blockbusters along the way, weren't there? And yeah, well, you might own Big Ben Roethlisberger on your fantasy team. Maybe you had A.J. Green earlier in the week. Maybe you had Julio Jones. Chances are somebody ruined your Sunday. I know a couple of people ruined my Sunday. And we're going to start off with the Carolina Panthers. You screwed me again, Cam. You screwed me again. Now, I went down hard, man, in the Super Bowl last year. All right, I was big man on campus, part of a team that finished eighth in the Las Vegas Super Hilton contest. Won $55,000. I'm walking around Las Vegas like the blonde dude in The Hangover. I think I own the town. I laid down probably, let's say, about 4 months rent on the Carolina Panthers. And I live in a nice condo. So let's say it's like, 12 months rent in like Akron, Ohio type of thing. I went down hard on this. I went down in flames. I was waiting to pick my spot to get the money back. All right. I was thinking, you know what? They'll beat Denver. They'll beat Denver in week one. I got cold feet. I was smart. I ended up taking the Denver Broncos. And what happened? Graham Cano missed the field goal. Even if he would have made the field goal, they wouldn't have covered a point spread. I did take them against San Francisco. I laid the double digits, and it was a little bit of a sweat job. I took the Minnesota Vikings last week, so I've sort of been waiting. And although I am a Buffalo Bill fan, I've always had a soft spot in my heart. It's true, I do have a heart. It's not in good shape, but I do have a heart. I've always had a soft spot for the Carolina Panthers, and Cam Newton's been real good to me, man, going back all the way to the Auburn days, all right? So yesterday I thought it was the spot. Wrong. Once again, Cam Newton and the Carolina Panthers ruined my Sunday. And you know what? I've been a pretty ardent defender of Cam Newton, but I'm getting pretty sick and freaking tired of the same crap, man. You know, the hoodies and the towels and the sitting on the bench, you know, staring. Enough freaking pouting. How about some producing? I know you're running for your life. Guy gets a first down. Dude, you're 1-3. You're losing to the Falcons. You're throwing footballs in people's faces now? Now, I know. You've been hit worse than a piñata that's made like a Donald Trump piñata at a Cinco de Mayo picnic, all right? People are just smashing you in the head. Bang, bang. And the refs aren't doing anything about it. Why? Because NFL refs suck. That's why. But you know what else sucks? Losing money on the Carolina Panthers. Again! You ruined my Sunday! Again! But this is the theme, isn't it? Last week, we picked on Ryan Fitzpatrick. Or excuse me, Ryan Pickpatrick. Six interceptions. I had a 7-point teaser. I could lose by 10. Ryan Fitzpatrick threw the 6 interceptions. Well, I guess we got good news, bad news. He cut that in half. I told you he sucked. But don't worry, he's smart, right? He went to Harvard. He single-handedly cost the New York Jets 3 wins this year. Let's be honest about this. Just like he cost the Jets a spot in the playoffs last year when he choked against the Buffalo Bills. How's Ryan Fitzpatrick doing in the fourth quarter when the game's on the line? I don't know. Let's see. How's he doing? He's got, 16 fourth quarter interceptions since last year. Think about that. He only plays 16 games a year. His 16 interceptions in the fourth quarter going back to last year, by far the most in the National Football League. The last 5 games that Ryan Fitzpatrick's played in, he's got 0 touchdown passes and 11 interceptions in the fourth quarter. That's clutch, isn't it? But don't worry, he went to Harvard. That's real clutch, isn't it? You know, the only smart thing about Ryan Fitzpatrick is that he cons NFL general managers into giving him money. You're going to hold out next summer, jackass? You suck. You ruined my Sunday. Again. Now I'm getting upset. Just as upset as suicide or survivor pool players. What is it? Is it suicide or is it survivor? Okay, and which one is it? I decided my pool, Sports Rage, is called Survivor because I'm an optimist. Suicide's too negative for me. All right? I'm still alive, even though NFL.com's graded the Bengals as a loss. Let's see, NFL.com's websites run as smoothly as your refereeing is. Crappy. All right, that's just besides the point. I better not get charged for a loss for that, eh? Says that, you lost. The Bengals lost. I'm 3-1. The Bengals did not lose! The Bengals did not lose! You figure NFL.com would know that. All right, but how many people are upset about the Arizona Cardinals? How many people got booted from your survivor pool because of the Arizona Cardinals? You know, I don't know how many times I have to stand here and tell you guys things before they happened. You guys call me a lot of things. Call me like Nostradamus in the future. I told you a couple of weeks ago that Mark Helfrich is going to get fired and the Oregon Ducks suck. They haven't won a game since. I told you before the year started, I remember getting ripped. I talked about Super Bowl contenders. I didn't have Arizona on the list. Oh, how come he doesn't have Arizona? Guy's an idiot. Where's Arizona? Tell you where Arizona is. In last place. That's where Arizona is. Maybe Bruce Arians can cut the long snapper again. You know, whose fault is it this week, coach? Remember last week I told you Bruce Arians made a big deal about the long snappers costing us. Yeah, it's the long snapper's fault, coach, right? It's a long snap. Who's next? The extremely hot Arizona Cardinal cheerleaders? I hope we got a shot of them. Oh, hey, ladies. Looking good. I guess it's their fault. Maybe it's the blonde's fault, huh? Maybe she needs to grow up. Maybe you need to grow up. Oh, it's the long snapper's fault. You suck. How many people's survivor pools are dead right now? Dead. Gone. Not coming back. Not coming back. So when they say any given Sunday in the National Football League, anything can happen. Like Andrew Luck not running for a first down. All you have to do is like this. Hey, I got the first down. Hey, look, I got a first down. Instead, you lose again. It's not the cornerback's fault. It's not the crappy defense fault you lost. It's your fault, Luck. I could go on and on. Who ruined your Sunday? Game Time Decisions continues. Game Time Decisions. We are live on the Fantasy Sports Network and, of course, on the Fantasy Sports Radio Networks. As I alluded to off the top of the program, we want to welcome everybody watching on Grande Cable across the great state of Texas. A lot of places I've been to on the list here. Now seen in Austin, Corpus Christi, San Antonio, Dallas. I believe Waco's on this list. Can't forget Waco. So we'll be talking. We talk a lot of Texas sports on this program. We'll talk a little Texas Ranger baseball in a moment, although we'll dive into the Rangers more so later in the week. But we'll touch on the future odds as far as Major League Baseball is concerned. We got a great show, man. Paul Bovey's a great capper. Dude finished. He's been a moneymaker in the Las Vegas Super Contest in the past. A great NBA capper, but NFL as well. He's going to join us. We'll talk about the Vikings-Giants game. Rashaal Ryan, one of the hottest adult superstars in the world. Blazing hot. She's going to join us. She's a huge, huge New York Giant fan. Except Rochelle's like hardcore, man. Like, she's a big football fan. She plays fantasy football. She bets on football because I saw her tweeting yesterday about underdogs and money signs. And she's so hardcore, she's going to UNLV football games, all right? People in Vegas barely go to UNLV games. But Rochelle, you know, she tweeted, I can't wait for the Rebels game. So Rochelle's a big football fan and a huge Giant fan. She'll join us. And Steve Merrill has been joining us for a long time now. It's probably going on about 12, 13 years. Steve Merrill joins us. What's up, Steve?
Grande Cable. I thought we were in Mexico suddenly. I wouldn't have known that was Texas.
We are.
I haven't heard of that one.
Yeah, we are. We are in Mexico as well.
I was going to say. We got three nations now.
You know, it's funny. Actually, you know, we're on in I know the Fight Network, we're on in like 72 countries or something.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's huge. All those Brazilians that are in MMA now. Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of international flavor.
I'm not even joking. My MMA show is popular in Turkey.
It's an international sport. I was watching the fight night Saturday night. You got a lot of Brazilians. I mean, it was in Portland, Oregon, and half the field was Brazilian, I think.
Yeah. And you know what's really funny, actually? It was actually Paul Bovey. So we'll get to it later. But Bovey was, he likes to bet the ponies, right, Paul? He's a big horse guy. So Bovey was in Mexico. I think he was in Guadalajara. And he was at the OTB. They have dog and racetrack. They have sports books in Mexico, too. They're just sort of little bars and shops. I knew he got killed in one years ago. So Paul was there, and he sends me a text saying, I'm in Mexico, and your show is on at the in the sportsbook bar in Guadalajara. And I said, no, it's not. I said, it's just another white bald guy, dude. Like, how many? I told him. I said, we're not on in Guadalajara, Mexico. And I said, how many? I said, dude. I said, you're probably looking at that Carton dude on CBS. It's Boomer and Carton. And he goes, Gabe, I've known you a long time. It's you. And then he tells me who the guest was that was on that day. And I'm like, holy crap, we really are on. I don't know how, why. Maybe they're picking us up off some satellite or whatever, Steve. But we're on at the dog track in Guadalajara, Mexico.
That's a good place to be on. That's good for both of us.
Yeah, it's good to have friends.
That's an active audience. That's the audience we want.
Yeah, it's our demographic, right?
That's the demographic. That's the word I was looking
for. Well, yeah, I was wondering, though, are you capping greyhound races?
You know one sport I used to love? Hi-Li. It's only in, well, I don't know, this was 20 years ago. It was only in three states. Great trivia question. Florida, obviously.
Of course, Florida, yeah.
But the other two were Connecticut and Rhode Island. And I've been to Hartford Hi-Li. I went to the Basketball Hall of Fame in Springfield, Mass. Went down to Hartford that same trip. And I've been to Miami Hi-Li, so I've actually been to two. It's apparently the most corrupt sport. This is 20 years ago, but apparently, you know, the guys are making deals in the back room, and he drops the pelota and the cesta and the big underdog cashes and some shady stuff, apparently, in Hi-Li. The best part of that, though, is in the program. They got, like, the 100-man roster, and there's an asterisk next to, like, 10 of them, and I look at the bottom, it says, denotes American citizen. It's like 90% of the guys are from, like, and that was in the program.
Was that, did Donald Trump own it? Like,
yeah, this is 20 years ago. I mean, nowadays really? You can't get away with that. Apparently, that was a handicapping factor if they were an American or not.
I bet dog racing. Of course, I bet dog racing.
I haven't done dog. That's the only one I have not been to is a dog.
I've bet it quite a bit. Yeah, in Vegas, actually, we're there with some cops. Pretty crazy, man. These cops, big time cop in Baltimore, knew all about the dog racing. And like you said, this stuff's so corrupt, man. He was all like, watch this. And he was like, you know, they set up the numbers, right? So they bet on one dog so it goes up, and then boom, they hammer one of the other dogs. So like the owners are all manipulating the numbers at the local track, and it has a domino effect. Real corrupt stuff, dog racing. But
yet that's all legal, and football betting's evil in 49 states.
Yeah. I know, but you can bet on the Greyhounds.
Because the NFL is so corrupt with millions and millions of dollars being played on these guys.
All right, so speaking of which, some big upsets yesterday, Steve. I said off the top, listen, I knew. I told people, be careful. I'm just upset. I didn't actually bet the Rams on the money line. I had a piece of the Rams plus the points. But I told people, be careful with this Arizona game if you're putting it in your survivor pool.
I
think they have trouble, and we see they do. Last week, Arians canned the long snapper. Whose fault is it this week?
Well, you know what, Gabe? I thought the Survivor game to be careful with actually was the Redskins minus 7.5, because I thought the Browns, you know, the Redskins are a terrible defensive team, makes you nervous laying points. I didn't think Arizona would lose straight up. I didn't have anything on that game for my clients, but I thought that was a pretty good Survivor pick. So that would have definitely knocked me out of some Survivor contests, mainly because they came in off that kind of misleading loss at Buffalo with all the turnovers, and they'd hammered Tampa Bay the week before in the one home game. Of course, had I seen the Denver-Tampa game ahead of time, that might have, you know, changed my view a little bit. Tampa's not nearly the team I thought they were going to be this season. But week five is now here, and I've always felt like the first 4 weeks, I know we say week one is like the preseason, the first 4 weeks are still like the semi-preseason. Week five on is when I really crank into gear in the NFL and when I start to look for, you know, a little bit of a contrarian angle on what we've seen in the first month.
This week is so this week is indicative of what the year has been, and it's so bizarre. I don't really know, Steve. Like you said, normally I always believe by week six is when, all right, they're starting to turn into who they are, right? Right. Parcells says that after eight games, you are what your record says you are after eight. So, you know, I've always thought it was sort of six. But this year, it's very strange, Steve. Like, who are the Buffalo Bills? Who are the Bills? You know, 2 weeks ago, they fired their offensive coordinator, and Rex Ryan's going to put his house up for sale. Him and his bozo brother are, you know, the clowns of the week every week in the NFL. Now, suddenly, they kick the snot out of the Patriots, hand them their first shutout. I don't care who the quarterback was. They had the same quarterback to beat the Texans 27-0. You know, they shut out the Patriots in Foxborough the week before they beat Arizona. Who are these guys? And then I guess we'll find out. It's the Bills-Rams this week. You want to talk about who they are, we're going to find out.
Yeah, and I'm you know, the Rams, I always say week one, there's always one game that doesn't correlate to the rest of the season. I mean, we're going to look back, and it's obviously going to be that Monday nighter between the Niners and Rams.
Just like last year with Minnesota, right, maybe.
Right, a 28-0 game. The Rams punted, I think, 10 times in that game, and then boom, they've won three straight as an underdog since. The Niners have not won since. They're 0-3 against the spread during that span. Buffalo, though, is tricky because, you know, they're the week three win against Arizona. A lot of turnovers by the Cardinals. And then last week, like you said, the quarterback situation was a mess for New England. And they were just looking ahead to the Patriots. But I actually had the Bills as the best bet yesterday. Even when it went down to 3.5, I still used it for my clients. It was as high as 7 the night before on Saturday night. Just not a good spot for New England, obviously. Now they get Cleveland this week. You would expect, you know, a big bounce back, but, you know, it's going to be a hefty price, and it seems like kind of a square play by the public, maybe.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you what, it's going to be my Survivor pick of the week, Steve.
if it was a home game, it'd be an automatic lock, obviously. But on the road, yeah, it's still pretty tempting.
I haven't used the Pats yet, but that's one of those. If I don't take them, anyone that hasn't taken the Patriots will go down in flames if Cleveland wins somehow. I'm in a Survivor, $5,000, Steve, $100 entry. Started with 50 dudes, and I think we're down to about 16 now already. You know, yesterday Arizona knocked a lot of people out of the way. I was raging off the top of the show, though, Steve. You figure, all right, I'm running a Survivor League. I'll do it at NFL.com. Nice and wholesome and clean, nice and easy. They graded the Bengals as a loss, Steve. It says I'm out.
Like that's one of the picks I really liked. I really liked the Bengals, actually, as a Survivor pick. That would have been the one I went with this week, even over Arizona, just because that Thursday night 3 days rest and travel for the Dolphins was pretty tempting. But, yeah, good strategy for the Survivor sometimes to take the second-best option, like the Redskins or Bengals, at the 7-point favorite, and then hope that the 9-point favorite loses like Arizona, because that knocks a lot of people out there.
Exactly. All right, Giants and Vikings tonight, Steve. Giants coming off the loss to the Redskins. Vikings been rolling along, one of three undefeated teams left. Yet it's interesting. They're not scoring. It's weird. Their offense is kind of, you know, their offense is okay. They make plays, but they're not, you know, their defense and special teams have actually scored more touchdowns than the offense has. And it's pretty crazy. Like the first team since 1970, the merger, to be 3-0 with three or less touchdowns on the season. Yet they're just covering machines, Steve. The number's down to 4. What's your take on this? The Vikings are on a 17-2 ATS run right now. They've covered 17 of their last 19 games. And get this, Steve. That doesn't count the 11-2 in the preseason with Zimmer. This guy is unbelievable. He's a cash machine.
Yeah, and it's not like they're squeaking by, because the last two wins have been straight-up dog wins, you know, so the point spread still hasn't even been close for the most part. They also crushed the Giants late December last year, 2 days after Christmas last season. They were a 7-point favorite in that game and won by 32. On the surface, off back-to-back straight-up dog wins and now laying points is usually not a good setup for a team, but it's Monday night, so you know they're going to be focused, and it's only their second home game in the new stadium, and we saw what an effect that stadium might have this year in that Sunday nighter against the Packers 2 weeks ago. Reports from the field was that it was about as loud as any stadium in the league. A little bit similar maybe Seattle with that home crowd advantage. So I think that's actually a handicapping factor we might have to take into account. And so far from what I've seen, the Vikings are a play-on team. Not a great setup. Obviously, the Carolina win last week, a little less impressive. Now the Carolina looked terrible again yesterday. But Minnesota playing very well, especially on the defensive side of the ball, like you said.
Quickly on the total, what do you make of this? It's hard to take the under in these games.
It is, but then again, the Vikings are only converting like 32% on third downs. You know, that stadium's going to be loud again. That could affect the Giants' passing game. They don't really have a very good running attack. I think the under 43 is probably the way to play it. But like you said, look, last night, Gabe, I actually ended up using the over. We talked about it. The Kansas City-Pittsburgh games have been so low scoring, and it still found a way over the total, even with KC basically doing nothing.
I had the over, and I needed it to clean up a little mess I made earlier in the day, Steve.
And that fourth and goal when the KC guy dropped the pass, I thought that was the knife.
I want to punch that guy in the face. And like how many times? It was right there. It was like, and even Travis Kelce before, two plays before.
Yeah,
like, I read today like ripping Alex Smith. Oh, he was 14 or 20. 14, how many passes did they drop? He put it right there, two tight ends in a row. Oh, I was panicked about that, and ended up scoring again. Hey, Williams, and it goes way over. It's funny how that works. Yeah, exactly. All right, Steve, we've got a little long, so before we get you out of here, baseball, Giants and Mets are set right now. Winner gets the Cubs. Dodgers and Washington. I swear I knew the Dodgers and the Nats were on a collision course. Dusty Baker, longtime Los Angeles Dodger player, kind of always, I think, holds a grudge, and he's never been the Dodgers manager. They face off. Orioles and Jays on Tuesday. The winner of that gets the Rangers. Meanwhile, we got Cleveland and Boston. We talk about any given Sunday in the NFL, Steve. Seems like this is pretty wide open as far as I'm concerned. A lot of these teams can win the World Series.
Yeah, if I don't know if there's any props out there at NL versus AL, but it's hard not to like the National League this year. The Cubs are a super team. Obviously, they've got that Washington Capitals jinx maybe that they got to overcome, but they're going to avoid either the Nationals or the Dodgers. They only have to beat one of them. That's a huge edge because I think Washington and LA are the two other most dangerous teams, especially with Kershaw back. He's favored in game one on the road. Dodgers are going to be tough if Kershaw is back to his current form. On the American League, I think the Rangers are very phony. I'm sorry to all our Grande Cable listeners and viewers. The Rangers are a phony team. The Red Sox, though, all offense, but, you know, pitching is what wins in the postseason. So even though Boston looks great right now, and same with the Blue Jays and the Orioles. You know, the Orioles' pitching's been great, as you've talked about, all those unders. The Orioles could be the sleeper.
25 to 1. They're the longest shot to win the World Series at 25 to 1.
That'd be my sleeper. That'd be my sleeper just because if they get by Toronto in a one-game series, which is possible, I like anybody against the Rangers. I think Texas is vastly overrated.
So let's say you're leaning with the Cubs in the National League. Who do you think plays in the World Series out of the American League then? You're going to pick Baltimore?
Yeah, I mean, it probably won't happen. I mean, Boston's the best team. It's just the pitching. You just worry about it. In a five-game series, you know, Boston has a better shot. That seven-game series is going to be tough, but I think Texas is a phony team. Cleveland could very well be in the World Series. We haven't talked about them yet, but Cleveland's dangerous. It feels like nobody is talking about them.
I know, and you know what? The Indians come in at 8-1. They're lumped in there with the Dodgers at 8-1. One interesting dynamic and storyline about that is Terry Francona and the Indians getting the Red Sox.
Yeah, I'd actually maybe go with Cleveland as my dark horse. You know, Baltimore, if they get to the Rangers, really either Cleveland or whoever plays the Rangers would be my two dark horses.
So, yeah, you're saying not the favorites. You take a shot. Exactly. Yeah.
Exactly. I mean, the Texas is a phony team, and Boston, I'm not sure they have the pitching. That's a concern there.
I swear to God, man, I said this 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago. I think it was when Mike Cardano, he was talking about how the Giants are done, they're finished, it's over.
And I know. You get a funny feeling, don't you?
I told him. I said, you know, like those Friday the 13th movies? Like when they think they're dead and like Jason comes out of the water and pulls the kid into the water at the end of the movie. That's my deal with San Francisco. I was like, until I see the corpse, I don't believe they're dead. And they're not dead. Here they are.
And they're going to have Bumgarner in maybe 2 out of 5 games and maybe 3 or 4 out of 7 games if they keep advancing. And that's as good as anybody other than Kershaw.
I think they beat the Mets. What do you think?
Well, I think that's a toss-up. If they get by the Mets, they are definitely dangerous because then Bumgarner can go, you know, half of a series going forward, and he's pretty much unhittable right now.
This is San Francisco, man. They're just that team of destiny all the time.
Got that pedigree also. There's no question.
Yeah. All right, Steve. It's always a pleasure.
Thanks, Gabe.
Steve Merrill with us. All right, we're going to shake things up a little bit. Rochelle Ryan joins us next. We got Paul Bovey on the radar, all that and more. Game Time Decisions continues. Game Time Decisions on the Fantasy Sports Network continues. We told you we're breaking down this Monday Nighter from all different angles. Steve Merrill, coversexperts.com, joined us. Steve's leaning with the Minnesota Vikings, not in love with it, liking the under in the contest. VegasInsider.com's Paul Bovey will join us in a couple of moments time. We'll get Paul's take, and Paul always has a couple of props for us as well. But now you know, we don't really have a neutral opinion on this game because we're bringing in somebody, one of the biggest, if not the biggest, New York Giant fan out there, someone who's fired up for the game. But like I said earlier, she loves football, man, not just Giant football, but fantasy football. Went to the UNLV game the other night, adult superstar and feature performer, Rochelle Ryan, returns to Game Time Decisions. What's up, Rochelle?
Hey, baby. How are you?
It's always a pleasure. Thanks for joining us. I know it's a little earlier earlier in the day for you, joining us live from Las Vegas. How you doing today?
I'm doing fabulous. How are you?
It's I'm doing okay. I actually made some money over the weekend, despite the fact of being on the wrong side of a couple of bets. But you play fantasy football, and I know you bet a little, Rochelle. It's amazing. You can't get everything at once, eh? Somehow, like, if you win your bets, your fantasy team sucks. You know, you lose your bets, and you're like, well, at least I won my fantasy matchup. But I can never get everything together on one weekend, and it really enrages me.
You know, it does to me, too. Last weekend, I lost my head-to-head by, like, a half a point. And I beat myself up over that half point. Like, I just couldn't get over it. Like, oh, I was still so angry about it because the guy that I was, like, talking smack to, he's the one that taught, like, Lisa Ann everything when it comes to fantasy. So she was like, you've got to beat him. You've got to beat him. And, like, the only, like, Brandon Cooks gave me no love. And that was pretty much the reason, like, I lost my head-to-head with him last week. So
I lost because of Brandon Cooks last week, too, on DraftKings. I would have won some money.
Everybody did.
Yeah, that's what happened. We all went down in flames. I think Lisa won. I'm in a league, the Fantasy Cup. I'm in the Fantasy Cup league with Lisa Ann, and I think she won her matchup. She was crushing her opponent yesterday. I'm doing well coming into tonight, but I got to go against her, Rochelle, because the guy that I'm playing tonight, he's got Eli Manning and Odell Beckham. So let's start off with the O-Dog here. How about last week? Like, when's the last time you cried? Like, the over-under, who cried, like, more recently, Rochelle Ryan or the Odell Beckham?
You know, probably Odell Beckham. And I'm not going to lie, like, when the Giants lose on Sunday, it kills my entire week. And I can't even tell you the rage I had in me. I was so upset. Like, but you know what, though? Call it, like, woman's intuition. I knew we were going to lose to the Skins. I just knew it. Like, we always downplay our opponents. They were 0-2, and we downplayed them, and we lost. Like, it was terrible. It was a garbage game.
You know what? You're exactly right. And I know you've been a lifelong Giant fan. That's the thing with the Giants, isn't it? They play down to the level of competition, and then, oh, we're in the Super Bowl, they're playoffs, and they step up and they win. But then they suck against the Saints, you know? I know they won, but they didn't cover. But yeah, I know what you're talking about. So, like, tonight, you know, that's what everyone was telling me, that, you know, the Vikings are great. They keep on covering every week. But this is the type of game that the Giants play well in. What's your woman's intuition telling you for tonight?
You know what? I honestly think I'm so angry. And then, to top it off, Dallas won yesterday. This Redskins won. Eagles were on a bye. So I don't even know what I'm feeling right now. Like, I'm still kind of salty over the loss to the Skins.
I like your style, Rochelle. And you know, I'm a little jealous because I know you went to the UNLV game the other night. You were tweeting pictures of it. I was like, damn, I got to be there. You should see me about getting a little upset and raging. And I hate to admit it, and I saw you tweeting about the point spread, and UNLV favored by 9. I'm like, there's no way UNLV beats anyone by 9. They lost to Idaho, and I should have known. Like, Fresno are that bad. But did you have a good time at the game?
I did. I had an amazing time. And the UNLV boy, the Rebels, we were cooking. Like, it was awesome. And it was a homecoming game, too, which was great. So, yeah, I was happy to see we got the win. We needed it.
Do you ever go to UNLV basketball games? Are great at the Thomas and Mack.
You know, I went to so many basketball games this season. And, of course, I'm going to be going to a ton this season, but last year I didn't get a chance to go to any football games, and it was awesome. It was a great experience. Like Sam Boyd, like it's a really nice stadium, and it was beautiful.
Yeah, it's too far out there. They got to get a stadium on the strip and stuff. Every time I go out there,
well, that's going to be for the Raiders.
I know. Think about that, Giants Raiders in Vegas. Does it get any better than that?
Oh, my gosh, that is going to be a dream. You know, that's been the hardest thing about living out here is that we don't have a professional sports team. And me being a football girl, that's tough. So that kind of, you know, what has made me get a little into, like, the UNLV, like, you know, the basketball and, you know, the football and stuff. Like, so.
Now, I saw that the owners of Sapphire, and I know you've appeared at Sapphire before. I've never been to one of those pool parties there. I've been there like all wasted at 3 a.m. type stuff, but I've never gone to one.
Everybody has been.
Yeah, I've never been to one of the pool parties, but he's like, yeah, if the Raiders come here, everything's going to be free for the Raiders. And I'm thinking the lap dances ain't going to be free for the Raiders. Like, you know, the girls aren't going to care that the dude's on the Raiders. The Sapphire guy's like, oh, yeah, it's going to be free everything for them here. I'm thinking, yeah, you better talk to the dancers about that.
Nothing is for free, baby.
No, no, not anywhere, and especially in Las Vegas. So I wanted to ask you, who do you hate the most, like, in the division? Because, you know, I'm a Bills fan, and it sort of varies. Like, I've never liked the Jets for some reason, but I know so many nice people that are Jet fans. So, like, I've softened with age, Rochelle. I'm like, I can't hate on the Jets, man. All my buddies are Jet fans, so I don't hate on them. The Dolphins, I don't hate the Dolphins. I'm just sort of indifferent to them because they kind of suck. So it's like, yeah, whatever. The Dolphins are the Dolphins.
I would think you would hate the Patriots.
I do. I do. But I'm a Michigan fan. So I used to be a Brady guy when he was in Michigan. And really, Rochelle, like, the Patriots used to suck. But no, without a doubt, I loathe the Patriots and their fans as well. In the division, yeah. Who do you dislike the most? Dallas, Washington, or Philadelphia?
Okay, I kind of have like a reason for all, like the Redskins, I can't pick on the Redskins so bad. It's like I used to go to FedEx for a lot of games when I lived back east, and they're kind of like a wine and cheese crowd. Like they really don't care. Like they know the Skins are awful. Eagles fans are just ruthless, like just all around, just mean, just nasty. You know, I can't stand Philly fans, but like Dallas fans annoy me the most. And that's because a lot of people aren't a Cowboys fan because they live in Dallas or they're from Texas. Like they're just, you know, a fan because it's Dallas. It's America's team and the goddamn star. Like I think that's so ridiculous. I'm like, even when I feature dance a lot, like a lot of girls are like, oh my gosh, like,
it looks like the Grande Cable people cut us off right there. We debut in Texas. I was just thinking about that. We debut in Texas and Steve Merrill off the top. The Texas Rangers are a phony team, Gabe. I don't like the Rangers. Rochelle Wright. Oh, the Cowboys. We'll try to get Rochelle back on here. Are we done? All right. We're out of time anyways. That was Rochelle. Ooh. Oh, here's Rochelle Ryan appearing at the mansion. I got to tell you, I want to go to the mansion right now. Where's the mansion? Newburgh, New York. Do we have Rochelle back? All right. So, yeah, we got a couple of minutes with Rochelle back. You know, Rochelle, it's really funny. We're debuting on a bunch of cable stations in Texas today. And off the top of the program, we had a guest that said the Texas Rangers are overrated and won't win the World Series. It's our first show there. And then you're like, I hate the Cowboys. Then we lost you, so I was joking. I think Texas pulled the plug.
I think, you know what? They probably did. They probably heard me bashing the Cowboys and pulled the plug.
All right. So listen, unfortunately, we had a great time today, Rochelle. Oh, we only have 1 minute left right now. So like I said, you're appearing at the mansion in Newburgh, New York this weekend. And you got to give us your pick tonight. What's going to happen tonight?
Oh, gosh. You know what? Of course, I'm going to go with my Giants. I think we're angry. We're going to pull it out. We've had a little bit of some rest. We had some home cooking this week. I think we're going to pull it out against the Vikings for sure.
Rochelle, it's always a pleasure. Thanks a lot so much for taking the time to be with us. I know it's earlier in Vegas. I guess we'll see you on Twitter tonight for the big game. Thanks for joining us. Enjoy the game tonight, Rochelle. It's always a pleasure.
Yes, thanks, honey.
There's Rochelle Ryan with us. Yeah, we should have just had like the poster, the mansion poster up the whole interview. Like, yeah, can we get one last shot on the way out, appearing at the mansion? Like that's just, you know, that should have been, that just should have been, you know, the shot the whole time, right then and there. All right, like I said, Rochelle's a huge football fan. Paul Bovey, he's a fan of money. Paul Bovey joins me next. Game time decisions on the Fantasy Sports Network continues. All right. Thanks to Rochelle Ryan for joining us on the program. Let's bring in Paul Bovey, VegasInsider.com's Paul Bovey, to talk about tonight's Monday Nighter or whatever else is on his mind, maybe a prop or two. Paul, it's always a pleasure. How you doing?
Hey, it's great to be here, Gabe. Doing okay. Couple rough beats over the weekend, but you know what happens. We get up off the canvas and we go at them.
You know, that's exactly right. I always tell people that are crying about their loss, unless you're going to stop betting and you're never betting again, I don't want to hear about it, because exactly, I'm very good at shaking it off as well. I'll lose it every now and then on the show just to get it off my chest. But for the most part, that's all we can do. And, you know, Paul, it's a weird dynamic. You and I have talked about the contest, the Vegas Super Contest. You're a contest vet. And it's very strange, Paul. I just can't get on track in the Super Contest, yet I keep winning money every Sunday. And it's one of those deals where last night I was depressed for like an hour. Like I was going in between depression and anger, like around 5 o'clock Eastern. You know, just sort of like it starts to get darker and I'm like, what the hell just happened earlier today? Why did I take this team? Why was I on the Jets? And then I look at my account and I'm like, man, I just won $1,200. What am I, so, you know? And I keep winning the bets, but I didn't do well in the contest. It's amazing how that contest can eat you up.
That contest can eat you up because you agonize sometimes on Friday morning, Saturday morning. I used to go down to the sports book sometimes, find the square, you know, the guy who you knew couldn't win, and I'd ask him, hey, who do you like? Because I'd be down on my last pick. And, of course, you go opposite. It's just sometimes you just don't know which direction to go, and you zig when you're supposed to zag and vice versa, and it just goes against you.
Yeah, it's a cold world. But, like I said, we had a nice big piece of the over last night in the Chief and the Steeler game. So we forge forward. Giants and Vikings tonight. I've always said, you know, the Vikings are like the Rodney Dangerfield in the National Football League. Paul, I don't know if people realize this, but the Vikings have covered. They went 13-2 against the spread last year after they lost that game to the 49ers, all right? So they went 13-2. They lost that game to Seattle. They covered the game in the playoffs. They covered that number. This year, they're 3-0 against the spread. You add it up, man. They're 17-2 in their last 19 football games. Not to mention, Zimmer is 11-2 in the preseason, in the last 13 preseason games. They're on an unbelievable run. They're 10-3 against the spread their last 13 home games, although they've only played one game in the stadium, and oh yeah, they won outright. They're 1-0 against the spread here. What a covering machine this team has been.
Yeah, Gabe, this team has been lights out, but then you wonder, is it going to turn? And I'm sure they're also, the leans have been to the under, because we know Zimmer is a defensive-minded guy, came over from Cincinnati, and he's turned this team around. It's unbelievable. You look at the Vikings of the late 90s, it was all offense, Culpepper, and now it's just a defensive team. And you wonder if they could score enough points. But the defense just keeps getting it done.
You know what's crazy? Yeah, the Vikings are the first team since the 1970 merger to be 3-0 with three or less offensive touchdowns. They have three offensive touchdowns. And in fact, their defense and special teams have scored more touchdowns than their offense has. Yet, you know, it's not like when you watch their games, it's lucky. They just sort of kick the crap out of you, and they take advantage, and they put points up on the board, then they just shut you down. Intriguing matchup. What's your take on the, and for the record, Zimmer's 27-9 against the spread in his career now. So that's incredible, Paul, that he's coached 36 games, regular season NFL games, and the guy's covered 27 of them.
27 of them, and they happen, this team, to own the New York Giants, particularly Eli Manning, 54% completions, five touchdown passes, 14 interceptions. Last year, a blowout, 49-17. So you wonder if the Giants, with their beleaguered secondary, can turn this around.
Yeah, you know what? It's very interesting. You're right. Eli Manning's numbers against Minnesota, god-awful. Five touchdown passes, 14 picks, as you just stated. Weird number I saw about Peyton Manning. When Manning throws for more than 300, when Manning throws for 350 or more yards, the Giants are just 7-13 straight up. And here's another one, man. Since 2004, Eli Manning has thrown 63 interceptions in the fourth quarter. Most in the NFL. If Ryan Fitzpatrick doesn't get kicked out of the NFL, no doubt he's going to catch that. Right? He's going to break that number. But you're right. Eli has struggled late in games, and he struggled against the Vikings. I've watched all three Giant games, and I've been on them in a couple of them, and they won and they didn't cover. They still have a hard time in the red zone. We've talked about this, Paul.
They have a hard time in the red zone. They have no takeaways this year, and their offense just hasn't gotten on track. If you look at that Redskin game, yeah, they put up some points, lost the game, but realistically, are the Redskins a good team? Hey, the Redskins gave up 20 points to the Browns yesterday only because the Browns turned it over at the 9-yard line late and then at the 35. The Giants' offense has not been there this year, so you wonder, is this the time they're going to get on track against this vaunted Vikings defense? I don't think so.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to. Listen, I'm not. It's funny that you say this about the Vikings, because I rode the Vikings last year. I clued in after about week four or week five that, you know what, this team is, they're covering every week. So I rode the wave. So I've the Vikings have been really, really good to me. But you're right, Paul. Coming into the year, I was like, man, I don't know. It's the first game of the year. Let's see what happens against Tennessee. And then they were down at the half. They came back. And then the next week, I actually liked the Packers. I was like, this is a revenge spot for the Packers. Last week, I just blindly did it. I was like, enough doubting it. Just ride it, Paul. You've been a Vegas guy. When it keeps on coming up red at the roulette wheel, why bet black, right? And it's one of these deals tonight. We could give everyone a million numbers, but it's just, I'm not getting in the way of a team that's 17-2 against the spread in their last 19 games.
Well, everybody's counting the Giants out because of that secondary. And I'm not. Because I think this is going to be a low-scoring game. Look, this Minnesota team has put up 211 yards, 284, and 301 in three games. They're just not moving the football. It comes down to mistakes. Minnesota feasts on mistakes. If Eli could somehow contain his mistakes, the Giants could potentially outscore him. There's a few props that look appealing to me because I think with that Giants secondary, they're going to protect against the long pass. So the underneath routes will be open. Spagnuolo will definitely dial up some blitz packages. And with that, Bradford's going to have to get rid of the ball soon, quickly. He's 40 of 59 on the year. Look for Rudolph to get at least 10 targets tonight, maybe 11. He's 4.5 to the over, and I think it goes high, 49.5 yards. I would split it on both sides.
I like where you're going with that. And in fact, I got a prop that I'm going to be giving, and I've been really lighting up the props this year, Paul. I'm going Bradford, over 20.5 completions. And you and I were texting this morning. I found a 4.5 with the sacks. It's amazing. Prop shopping's unbelievable, isn't it, Paul? That's when you really need multiple options, because the props, you really are going to get different numbers. I've seen a lot of 21.5 for Bradford tonight. It's 20.5. He's only started two games. He went over this number once, but you just mentioned it, man. The Giants aren't that bad against the run, and they can't run the ball. The Vikings cannot run the ball. There's going to be a lot of dink and dunk stuff out of the backfield. I like the over 20.5. I think he even goes over 242.5. Maybe it's not a track meet game, but the Vikings are going to throw the ball a lot.
Hey, I got one thing to say about those sacks. I'm going to be rooting hard for five because I found one 4.5 over 20 and then a 5.5 under 20. So effectively, I'm getting 10-1 odds that there will be five sacks. I would make that 7-2 in worst case scenario. So I'll take those all day. And on the Giants side, I do like Victor Cruz over 3.5 catches. His 195 total receiving yards this year, and 86 of them have been yards after catch. So he's the guy that gets the shorter routes and runs, gets a few yards after he hauls it in. So I think Manning, being under pressure, goes to Cruz as opposed to Odell Beckham downfield.
We got
to
get out of here, Paul. Excellent insight as always. Paul Bovee, find him over at VegasInsider.com. Thanks for the time, Paul.
Thank you, Gabe.
Paul Bovee. All right, we'll take a quick break. We come back. I've got 10 picks for tonight's contest. All right, it's time for our plays of the day. Major League Baseball playoffs are starting this week. Tonight, we've got a Monday night football game. We got 10 plays for you as well. We're going to start off with the Minnesota Vikings. I've said it before, I'm going to say it again. Just take the Viking off the helmet and put Rodney Dangerfield's face on it because they don't get any respect. Only had 4 points out with the Vikings. They're 17-2 against the spread in their last 19 games. Coach Zimmer's 27-9 against the spread in his National Football League career. Think about that. He's covered 27 of 36 games in which he's been on the sidelines. That didn't even include the 11-2 in the preseason. We're going to go over 43. Everyone's on the under in this game. I don't win when I take unders. I'm not betting a farm on the over, but I think this game's going to be higher scoring than people think it is. We're going to go with Bradford. We also like that game teased as well, but we're going to go teased to the over. Bradford, over 20.5 completions. We're going to go Bradford, over 242.5 yards. The Vikings can't run the ball. They're going to be throwing the football a lot. Stephon Diggs was sort of contained last week. Still had 4 receptions. I think he gets over 5.5 tonight. He's gone over that number in 2 of the 3 games. Odell Beckham Jr. I don't think Odell's going to get 7 catches tonight. I found it at 6.5 in one spot, 5.5 in others. Don't play it if it's 5.5, but you can find the 6.5. Go under the number. This is for the degenerates. Will a team score in the first 7 minutes and 30 seconds of the football game? I say yes, they will. Sacks. The Vikings have 15 sacks, all right? Second in the National Football League. The prop is only 4.5. Go over 4.5 sacks. And let's go long field goal over 44.5. Other night, you're on your own. May the winners be yours.